Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. In stark contrast to our previous Masechta, Maseches Soita, even though in terms of dapim, Maseches Soita numbers 48 dapim, Maseches Gittin twice the length as far as dapim counting is concerned. Nevertheless, the amount of Torah shebiksav, scriptural reference to the topic of Sota, there are many, many more psukim than you'll find the Torah reference, Torah shebiksav reference, the written Torah with regard to the topic of Gittin, of divorce. The Torah in Dvarim, Perek Chav Dalet, Psukim Aleph and Beis, simply say, and we'll read the Psukim, Ki Yikach Ish Isho Vualah, when a man, without literally translating, the Pasuk describes a man marrying a woman, V'hoyo Im Lo Yisim Sechein Be'enov Ki Motza Be'er Vazdovar, and if she is found to be unpleasing in his eyes because he's found some type of, say, immoral behavior, V'chosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan biyodo v'shilcho mi beso. He writes a divorce document. In Hebrew, the Torah uses the term sefer krisus. Literally, a sefer is a writing of krisus, of disconnection, of departure, of cutting off the relationship. And he gives it to her hands, and he sends her out of his house. And upon her departure from his house, she is then free to marry another man. That's, as far as the Torah is concerned, that appears to be all that the Torah says regarding divorce documents. So here you have a brilliant example of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, coming to the fore, taking the very little that you have in the written Torah and showing how much there is to be derived from all of the, we'll say, all of the hints that you find in these very few psukim. With that general introduction having been stated, we turn our attention to the Mishnah. The topic that we will be spending quite a bit of time on has to do with the conveyance of a divorce document written in one area, one part of the world, and then brought to another part. When we speak about the parts, we're going to be contrasting Eretz Yisrael with the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael. We'll also be noting, as we get into the Gemara, a very significant aspect of the preparation of a get, and in one word, it's called lishma. That a divorce document, when prepared, it has to be done with proper intention. And when we speak about the preparation of the divorce document, then we will get into a finer resolution as to what are we referring to. Are we referring to the writing of the body of the divorce document, of the get, or the signing of the witnesses? But either way, the issue of lishma, of specified intent that must be present, is a very important aspect of get preparation. When we speak of lishma, we mean that the get is being written for the parties that are participating in the divorce. They have to be in the mind of the sofer, of the scribe who is preparing the divorce document. Needless to say, we don't have to spell out all the details of divorce documents at this early stage. That's the role of the 90 daf of this Masechta. And now the Mishnah. Hamevi get mi medinas hayam. Tzorach sheyoymar b'fonai nechtav v'b'fonai nechtam. A shaliach, an agent who is conveying a divorce document from outside the land of Israel. Medina Sayam is a term referring to chutzlaretz, and when we speak about chutzlaretz, Rashi already adds, based on the Gemara later, with the exception of Babylonia. So, and you'll ask, why is Babylonia an exception? That we'll wait to see in the Gemara. So, an agent who is conveying a get from outside Eretz Israel to Israel, so Tzorech Shiomar, he has to declare, the Shaliach has to declare, Befonai Nechtav uVefonai Nechtam. Here we'll translate, leaving room for the Gemara to elaborate. He must declare that it was written in front of me and it was signed in front of me. Those are the words of the Shaliach. Rabon Gamliel Omer Af Hamevi Min Horekem Umin HaCheger. Rabbi Gamliel is adding places from which the get is brought, even in these cases, when it's brought from Rekem and Cheger. Now you'll ask, well, what's he adding? So we'll see later that these are places that are relatively close to the land of Israel itself, but they are from outside the land of Israel. So that when we speak about outside the land of Israel, it's not just very far away, it's even near, but it's still outside the land of Israel. The shliach has to say b'fonai nechtav u'b'fonai nechtam. Why does he make that declaration? Again, we'll wait and see. Rabbi Eliezer, a third opinion, Omer afilu mikfar ludim lelud. Even a get written in kfar ludim and then brought to lud. We'll see in the Gemara, Rashi already makes a point that this place, Kfar Ludim, which is considered outside the land of Israel, it's very, very close. It's in such close proximity to Eretz Israel that you would have thought maybe here we can make an exception. No. Rabbi Lezer says here we're not going to make an exception, giving room for you to realize or to think already that the previous opinions in the Mishnah would have disagreed. Otherwise, there's no point in having Rabbi Lezer if he's simply saying something that the previous opinions would have agreed with. V'chachomim oimrim, eino tzorech shiomar b'fonai nechta b'fonai nechtam, elo hamevi mimedinas hayam v'hamoylich. At this point, it doesn't seem that the Chachomim are adding, a new opinion that we haven't already seen. We saw the Tanakhama, the first opinion, saying one who brings a get from outside the land of Israel to Israel, that agent has to make the declaration that it was written in front of me, was signed in front of me. Isn't that what the Chachomim here are saying? That it doesn't have to be said unless it's a get that's being brought from the Dina Sam to Eretz Israel. And then likewise, one who takes from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. We'll have to, of course, see what are the Chachomim adding this fourth opinion, and we've listed it as a fourth opinion. How is it a new opinion? We continue in the Mishnah. V'hamevi mi medina le medina b'medina sayam tzorech shiyoymar b'fonai nechta b'fonai nechtam. An agent bringing a divorce document from one area in Chutzlaretz to another area in Chutzlaretz, he has to say this statement. Befonai nechta, befonai nechta. Rab Shumam Leolimer, afilu mehegmonia lehegmonia. We go immediately to Rashi. Mehegmonia lehegmonia. Begemora meforesh. The Gemara explains. Ir achas shohoyu bo shnei hegmonim umakpidim ze al ze. One city that has two leaders, two ruling forces controlling one city, and they are in such control that they don't allow, we'll say, travel or contact from one side of this town to the other. As we explained, they are opposed from people under their control to go to the other side of town under the control of the other authority. So if a get is in fact being brought from one side of town to the other under these circumstances, that it's one city controlled by two different forces, the shaliach has to say b'fonai nechtav u'b'fonai nechtam. We haven't said, of course, why the shaliach says that. Rav Yehuda Omer meirekem lemizrach verekem kimizrach. What Rav Yehuda does in this section of Mishnah is gives you the, we'll say, the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael versus outside Eretz Yisrael, so that there's a community whose name is Rekem, which is to the eastern side of Eretz Yisrael. So from Rekem outwards, further east, is considered Medinas Hayam. Rekem itself is part of Medinas Hayam. It's not Eretz Yisrael proper. So a get that's being brought from Rekem, and certainly further east of Rekem, to Eretz Yisrael, the shliach, the emissary, the agent, has to say, b'fonai nechta, b'fonai nechtam. Me Ashkelon ledorom, from Ashkelon and southwards, that's called chutzlaretz. V'ashkelon kedorom, Ashkelon itself has the status of chutzlaretz. Me Akko letzofoin, v'akko kitzofoin. From Akko northwards, and Akko itself is considered that is considered outside of Israel to its north. Rabbi Meir Omer, Akko, Keretz Yisrael, Legitin. Rabbi Meir disagrees and says that Akko has the status of the land of Israel with regard to the laws of divorce documents. That statement in and of itself might imply that regard to other areas of Halacha, Akko does not have an Eretz Yisrael status. Hamevi get Be'eretz Yisrael eino tzorach shiomar b'fonai nechta b'fonai nechtam. An agent who's conveying a get within the land of Israel, from one part of Israel to the other, no need for this declaration. If the husband who's divorcing his wife, or supposedly divorcing his wife, he comes forward and challenges the authenticity of the divorce document, Ma'orer is to protest. He comes forth claiming, oh, that document that you're planning to give to my wife, that's a forgery. If he does that, then Yiskayim B'chosmov. Rashi, Yiskayim B'chosmov, V'im Ya'idu Ha'edim Al Chasimas Yideim O Edim Achirim Yakiru Chasimosom Kosher. Yiskayim B'chosmov has to do with verification of the document. How is a document verified? Either through the witnesses who signed coming forth and saying, these signatures are our signatures, or witnesses from the outside saying, we recognize these signatures as being signed by the men whose name appears. Rashi goes on, V'im ein olav orim, mistama kosher. If you have a divorce document and there's no challenge to it, it's most likely acceptable. Daha b'kiyin l'shma, v'edim etzim Talmud Lekaimikam, Rebbe Gemara, Boti Dinim Fuim. Rashi already is getting into what the reason behind B'fonei Nechta, B'fonei Nechtam is, and in order to appreciate what Rashi is saying here, it really is necessary for us to continue in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara. On the side, we have one of the features of the Shas Ozer, a topic heading, which we call the no say, and we've indicated in parentheses ad vavam et beis. In other words, we have a sugya that's extraordinarily lengthy, lasting till daf vavam et beis, and we've written shnei shitos. We'll be presenting two opinions, Rabo and Rova by name. Names are very similar. There's a hey at the end of Rabo and an aleph at the end of Rova. Lomo tzorech hashaliach loimar befonai nechtav ubefonai nechtam. Why does the shaliach have to say that phrase that was featured in the Mishnah? This, as we said, is a machlokes rabba and rava. We should point out as well that we're probably going to be spilling over the standard Daf Yomi quota well onto Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. The reason being that the structure of the Gemara when presenting Rabbah will have its, we'll call, mirror image when presenting Rava. And in order to appreciate the balance in Gemara structure, it's to our advantage to do the entire first discussion in one session. So now the Gemara. My Taima. Why does the Shliach have to say, why does the agent have to say this statement? Befonai nechtav, befonai nechtam, a declaration that the get was written in front of me and signed in front of me. Rabo Omar, he is, of course, the first opinion. Lefi she'ein, we're at the top of Omid Beis, lefi she'ein bekiyin lishma. We are concerned that the scribes outside the land of Israel are not expert in this facet of get preparation, i.e. lishma. The point we mentioned earlier, the necessity of the get being prepared with specific intent, with this couple that's being divorced in mind. On the top line of Rashi, lefi she'ein b'kiyim lishma, ein b'nei medina sayam b'nei Torah. The Jews that are outside of Eretz Yisrael are not considered b'nei Torah. B'nei Torah would mean Torah-conscious people. V'ein yoidin shetzorech lichtoiv haget l'shem ho'isha. And they're not aware of the necessity of the get being prepared with the woman who's being divorced in mind. Ukroksiv, and the Pasuk says, as we read at the outset of today's shiur, v'kosav lo sefer krisus. The word lo, dehainu, lishma, with her in mind. Hilkoch, therefore, omer hashaliach, befonai nechtav v'befonai nechtam. The shaliach declares, this get was written in front of me and it was signed in front of me. Umemela shailin and leyanin, that prompts us to ask the shaliach, im nichtav lishma, was it written with the woman in mind? Vu omer in. And he would respond, yes. Ulekamim meforsh my taimo lo asuchu nami lemeimar lishma. If the whole point is to arrive at this conclusion that it was written lishma, why doesn't the shliach simply say b'fonai nechtav lishma? Added, let him be forthcoming with that information instead of just saying this, let's say this abbreviated declaration, and then we ask, and then he'll reveal the truth. Why go through all of that? Wouldn't it be easier for the shliach simply say b'fonai nechtav lishma? B'fonai nechtam lishma. That will be dealt with later. We continue in the Gemara. Rova Omar, lefi shein edim mitzuyim lekaimo. When a get is being brought from abroad, so there are signatories on the get that obviously are from the place that it was prepared. The get was prepared. People and two witnesses sign it. When brought from Chutz Loretz to, let us say, Eretz Yisrael, and the need arises for verifying the signatures, I don't have anyone here that recognizes signatures from a place abroad. So the shliach, through his announcement of b'fonei nechtav, b'fonei nechtam, he in effect is verifying that the signatures are authentic. Let's take a look at Rashi. There aren't shayoros, caravans, that travel from there to here. If, in the event, the husband comes and protests, I didn't write this, Shiyu Edim Mitzuyim Lahakir Chasimus Edim. We would like to have a situation where witnesses could come forth who recognize the signatories. And therefore, what do we do instead of that? V'heminuhu l'shaliach. So as a result, we've imposed or granted believability, acceptance of the words of the shaliach. When he says b'fanai nafanai naftam, that's tantamount to his verifying the authenticity of the signatures. Later, the Gemara is going to ask, if we're dealing here with verification of signatures, why is it that we don't require two, as we require in all witnessing in general? You want people to offer testimony that these signatures are truthful, so there should be two people. How is it that we're relying on the agent? He's a single individual. We continue in the Gemara, second line from the top. My binayhu, what practical difference is there between Rabba's explanation and Rava's explanation? Iko binayhu, a practical difference would be das yuhu beitre inami mi medina le medina beretz Yisrael inami ba'oiso medina be'medina sayam. So we have three cases in which you'll see a difference between Rabba's approach and Rava's approach. The first was das yuhu beitre. Instead of a single agent, you have two witnesses that are conveying the get. Well, if you have two witnesses that are conveying, they're serving as shluchim. As far as Rabba is concerned, they nevertheless will have to say b'fanai nafanai nachtam. Through that, we will then conclude that it was written lishma. They'll say that phrase. We'll ask them, was it written lishma? And they'll tell us yes. In other words, the fact that two people are bringing it doesn't improve the situation over one person bringing it with regard to discovery as to whether it was written lishma or not. However, according to Rava, that you have two people bringing the get, there's no need for them to say b'fanai nechtav u'b'fanai nechtam. What was our whole concern? That the husband might come along and challenge the authenticity, and I won't have witnesses around to verify the signatures because the get is coming from abroad. But here I have two witnesses. And if the Baal, if the husband should come along and protest, I have Edim Mitzuyim. Here they are. They're right here. So there's no need for them to volunteer with the declaration so as to forestall the husband from coming to protest. In this case, as we said, if the husband should come and protest, well, you've got your two witnesses here anyway. The second nafkamina, Medina, Eretz Yisrael, a get that's being conveyed from one region of the land of Israel to another, but you're within the land of Israel. So once you're in the land of Israel, the issue of lishma falls away. So if you have a single shaliach conveying the get from one part of Israel to another part of Israel, there's no fear that it was written shelo lishma. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we assume that the scribes are knowledgeable of the requirement of it being done lishma. However, are there people that will recognize the signatures of the witnesses? Let's say the get was prepared in the northern part of Israel, and then it was given to the woman while she's in the southern part of Israel. There isn't necessarily commercial contact between the different regions of Eretz Israel, so you're not going to have witnesses that will recognize the signatures, and therefore, mi medina le medina of Eretz Israel, the shlich would have to say b'fanatam, which serves as the verification. So once again, according to Rabba, no need in this case of mi medina le medina beretz Yisrael, and according to Rava, you would need to have the agent saying b'fanai nachtam to serve as a verification. Inami, the third difference we said was within the same region, but you're abroad. So once you're within the same region, there's a lot of commercial contact between one part and the other. And hence people will recognize one another's signatures since they're all in the same area. So according to Rava, in this case, there's no need for the Bifonai Nechtam declaration. However, according to Rava, who was interested in Lishma, well, the third case was within one land region, but abroad. In that place, we don't expect them to know the laws of Gittin needing to be Lishma. Therefore, even though there are there are people that will recognize the signatures, because it's all within a relatively limited proximity, nevertheless, Rava will tell the agent, you have to say, B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam, so as to lead us to the questioning of whether it was done Lishma. Now we have a marking scheme. On the side, under the Mivneh heading, you can see we have a number of different markings, starting with a bow tie, then a double underline, a diamond, a dash underline, and then a triangle. And we've written on the side, Hasimunim Po, these markings, Uva Amud Haba, and on the next Amud of Gemara, the next page of Gemara, Mu'adim lahavlit hadimyon b'mivneh b'kushos u'b'tshuvos al rabo v'rovo. We want to show you how the analysis, the questioning, and the answers concerning Rabo's approach. And if you look ahead to Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, Rava's approach, the structure is very, very similar. The main shitas are introduced with a bow tie. The Gemara's question will apply to both Rabo and Rava. Should we not require two agents that will serve as witnesses? And you have a diamond that highlights the expression in both cases, is Chazik Isura. We'll have to explain that when we get to it. And you'll also notice we have in both Lashonos a long question marking. Ula Rabo di Omar Lafi She'ein Bekiyin Lishma. As you can see, we've highlighted Rabo with the bow tie marking so as to draw your attention to Rava on Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabo, who said that the reason for B'fonai Nechtam regarding Gittin brought from abroad is because they are not expert in Lishma, and the agent, the shliach, will serve as a witness when he tells us, yes, it was done Lishma. How can one serve as a witness? Liboy trei, midi dehave akol edius shebatorah. We should require two, just like is necessary in all cases of testimony in the Torah. The pasuk says, al pi shnayim edim. You need two witnesses, and it goes on to say, yokum davar. The matter will be established. So if we want to establish that the get was done lishma, we should require two. How can one serve as sufficient testimony? The Gemara answers, Eid echod ne'emon b'isurim. Isurim is a general category of law that we can offer a suggested translation as the ritual area of Jewish law, as opposed to, let us say, pecuniary areas, monetary matters. So in the realm of Isurim, a single witness is believed. Another example of that is if you enter someone's house, someone serves you some food, some meat, and the question is, was it slaughtered properly or not? Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? The person offering you the meat can testify it is kosher. You don't need to have two witnesses. That's an example of Eid Echad Ne'emon B'Isurin. There are many other examples. And here too, we're dealing with the realm of, we're not dealing with any monetary matters per se. We're dealing with, was the get prepared with the right intention? So one witness is believed. The Gemara asks, and notice we have a long question marking. This same question style will appear, as we mentioned already a few times, on Gimel Amud Aleph when we get to Rava. The Gemara asks, Amor de Amrinon Eid Echonem and Bisurin, when is this principle applicable? Kagon, example would be Chaticha, Sofek Shel Chelev, Sofek Shel Shuman, a piece of meat. The doubt is whether it's from a kosher part of the animal, shuman, or an unkosher, an unacceptable part of the animal, chelev. Chelev is often translated as forbidden fats. In different parts of the kosher animal, there are sections one is not allowed to eat. So you have a piece of meat or fat in front of you, and you don't know whether it's from the kosher section or the unkosher section. Delo is chazik isura. No status. Ischazik has to do with established status. There is no established status regarding this piece of meat that it was known to be forbidden. So when you have something in front of you that you need testimony over it, but you don't know whether it was ever in a forbidden state or not, one witness is believed. Aval hocha, but in the case of divorce, de ischazik isuro de eshes ish. We have a woman who had a known status of being a married woman, and hence Isura, prohibited to everyone else. And now the question is this woman who had a known prohibited status going to be allowed through this divorce document to marry someone else? That already is a different level of concern. Have a dovar sheb'erfu. You're dealing with matters concerning prohibited sex relations. The Ein Dover Sheb'erva, in this realm of prohibited relations, matters concerning this area cannot be established pochos mishnayim, with any less than two. And the basis for this is a gzeirah shava, a word comparison between the pasuk that says, and Rashi features this, Kimotso ba'ervas dovar, so you have the word dovar in the realm of prohibited relations, and regarding witnesses, it says, Alpishnayim edim yakum dovar. The word dovar appears there too, where the pasuk mentions explicitly the need for two witnesses. So we have a question going back to the original issue of why don't we require two? To simply say that this is a Eid Echonem and Bisurin example, not so. Because here we have, to counter that, we have the concern of Ischazik Isura, and a pre-established or a known status of prohibition. And in order to undo a known status of prohibition, you'll have to have two witnesses. How then can a shliach, an emissary, an agent of conveyance, serve as testimony that the get was prepared lishma, properly? The Gemara answers. Notice we have a long answer marking. Roiv Bekian Hain. The majority of people that prepare gitin, prepare divorce documents, in fact, are expert. Even in Chutzlaretz, the majority are assumed to be expert, and there's no reason for any doubt. This consideration undoes the issue of Ischazik Isura, because we have a divorce document that we can assume is kosher. So in itself, the divorce document with this assumption of kashrus is sufficient to enable the woman who receives it to get remarried. Ve'afilu l'Rebbe Meir, the Chayesh l'miuta, even according to Rebbe Meir, who elsewhere in the Shas, elsewhere in other areas of Halacha, takes into consideration the minority, and, well, the minority of instances are that the get might have been prepared shelo lishma, without proper intent. Nevertheless, stam safri de daini migmar gemiri. Your average, your standard, your rank and file scribe who prepares gittin is knowledgeable. And Tosfos explains that with this consideration, we have what's called a mi'uta de mi'uta. It becomes a minority of a minority that there would be a problem. So little chance that there would be a lishma problem that even Rebbe Meir will honor the rove aspect, the majority aspect. The Rabbonon hu de atzruch. And it's a merely rabbinic, we'll call stringency or consideration that requires the shaliach, that requires the shaliach to say, let me put it this way, that requires us to concern ourselves that maybe this get was not prepared with intent. Again, it's a purely rabbinic consideration that makes us suspect that maybe there was a problem. Rashi explains, second line from the bottom, Rabbonon hu datzrichu lemeichash lemilsa. It's the Rabbonon who made us concerned that maybe we should concern that with what? Mishum deika da'ashkach kosuv yoyme. You could have a case where a person who's trying to divorce his wife happened to be walking along and found a divorce document. Kegon shenichtav l'shem echod mibnei iro shishmo kishmo shmo kishmo v'nimlach miligaresh. You found a get that happened to have your name in it, but it was written by someone else who intended to divorce his wife. This other guy had the same name as you have, his wife has the same name as your wife, and he decided not to divorce his wife, and you found his get and said, I'll use it, the names are already the same anyway. That would be a problem because it wasn't written lishma. It wasn't written with you in mind. It was written for the other guy with the same name as you. So it's the Rabbanan who are requiring me to, let us say, be suspect. V'hacha, and here in the case of a get being brought by an agent, mishum iguna akilu ba Rabbanan, because of the iguna consideration. Iguna, maybe you're familiar with the word aguna, means a woman who is withheld, who, if we do not allow the shliach, who's bringing it from abroad, to serve as testimony, and you're going to insist on having two witnesses that would testify about the get having been done lishma, it's going to make it very difficult for this woman to get remarried. So, because of our concern of her being otherwise an aguna, a withheld woman, withheld from being allowed to be remarried, we are makil, and we say one witness is enough. Just to review the main point is you don't really need any testimony, because once you have a get, the overwhelming majority of scribes who prepare gittin do it with proper intention. The Rabbanan said, you know, we should maybe concern ourselves with that very outside possibility that it wasn't done lishma, and therefore we're requiring testimony. And if you'll say, well, shouldn't we require two? We answer to that, if we're going to require two, it's going to be too much of a burden, and the woman might end up not getting remarried. So we therefore say, we'll rely on the singular witness, the agent who's conveying the get, and he will tell us that it was done lishma, when you, technically speaking, don't even need that, and we allow her to get remarried. The Gemara asks, Hai kulahu, chumrahu. Notice this triangle, we'll see the same marking almost in the middle of the page, because we're going to be raising this kind of question against Rava as well. So we ask, is this really a leniency? You said a moment ago, Mishumigula akilu barabonan. There is a latent stringency here. Chumrahu. Dei matzur chislei trei, if we would require two witnesses to tell us that the get was done lishma, lo osi baal ma'arer uposolei, the husband will not come and challenge the authenticity of the get and claim it to have been done shelo lishma. However, now that we're not requiring two witnesses, chad, by allowing one witness to serve as the testimony, osi baal u'ma'arer u'posolei, the husband will feel, well, I can go up against one witness. Going up against two witnesses, the husband has no chance. But going up against one witness, one against one, he could end up spoiling the get. So you're not really creating a situation of leniency by allowing the testimony of one. That opens up the door, so to speak, for the husband to come and challenge the authenticity of the get, the kashrus of the get. The Gemara answers, Kevon di Omar Mor, since it has been taught, and this we'll see on Daf Hey, Bifnei Kamo Noisnoi Lo, the agent, when he gives the get to the woman, in front of how many does he give it? There are people present. How many have to be present? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanina. There are two Amoroim that argue, Chad Omar Bifnei Shnayim, V'chad Omar Bifnei Shlosha. One says the get has to be given in front of two. The other opinion says the get has to be given in front of three. And it's in their presence that he will say, Bifonai Nechtav, Bifonai Nechtam. Since that is a requirement, this agent is going to be very careful to make sure that the get was done lishma. Me'ikora, from the outset, meidak dayik velo osi le'oroye nafshei. He's going to be very careful to make sure that it was done properly, because otherwise, he, this agent, will come out ruining his own reputation. And we look at Rashi together. Me'ikora meidak dayik hashaliach kishemekablo miyad habal. When the agent received the divorce document abroad from the husband, v'yodea bo sheberotzon megarsha, and he, the agent, knows that the husband has full intention to divorce her, v'lo yovo v'ya'arer od, and he's not going to come to challenge and protest, v'inami orer, and even if he does come, eino ne'emon, the husband won't be believed, v'vadei dok b'milse shapir, you can rest assured that this agent, knowing that he's not giving the get in private, he's giving it in front of others. And if it would be revealed that the get is a forgery, or the get was done improperly, he will end up looking bad. So he will have checked out the matter very carefully, and that gives us total confidence in his testimony that it was done lishma. So that the idea of the husband coming and challenging, even though only one witness, i.e. the agent, is the one revealing to us that it was done lishma, that is not going to open up the door for the husband to come and challenge. And now we continue with the same analysis, but looking at things from Rava's vantage point. Ularava di Omar lefi she'ein edim mitzuyin lekaimo. According to Rava, that the reason for the shliach's announcement or declaration of b'fonei nefonei nechtam as to serve as a verification of the authenticity of the signatures, liboi trei, we should require two witnesses for this. Midi dehavi akiyum shtoros de'alma, similar to signature verification in general. Why here, in the case of the signatories on the get, is this single agent / witness sufficient? The Gemara says, Eid Echod Ne'emon Bisurin. In the realm of Isurim, as we explained earlier, one witness is sufficient. The Gemara asks, is this a case of simple eid echod neman bisurin? Eimar di aminon eid echod neman bisurin kagon chaticho sofik shel chelev sofik shel shuman. When is it that we apply this principle or even leniency that one witness is enough in the realm of ritual law? That's when testimony is stated with regard to a piece that never had an established status of prohibition, like a piece of fat, meat fat, and you don't know whether it comes from the forbidden section of the animal or the permitted section of the animal. Delo is chazik isura, where in this regarding this piece, there hasn't been any established status of prohibition. Avol hocha, but in the case of the woman, Ischazek Isura, the Aishas Ish is a married woman. She had an established known status of being a married woman. Havidover Sheba Erva. This comes into the realm of forbidden relations. The Ein Dover Sheba Erva Pochos Mishnaim. And establishing permissibility concerning a forbidden relation, no less than two witnesses can testify. And we saw before that was proven through the Gezeirah Shava of Dovar Dovar. The Gemara answers, Bidinhu de Bekim Shtaros Nami Lo Liboi. In terms of technical or basic law, verification of signatures is not something that's necessary. Kidder Reish Lakish, based on Reish Lakish's law. Diyama Reish Lakish, Edim HaChasumim Al Hashtar, witnesses that are signed on a document. Naasu kemi shenechkira eduson bebeisdin. It's tantamount to witnesses that were thoroughly investigated in the court. Rashi explains this analysis is based on the idea that people would not be so chutzpahdik to forge signatures. So when you have signatures in your standard legal document, they can be assumed to be authentic signatures. For Rabbanon hu da'atzruch, it's a rabbinic stringency to nevertheless require verification. V'hacha mishum iguna akilu bo Rabbanon. Here, as we explained earlier, if we're going to require two witnesses, because of this, we'll say this rabbinic stringency, so the woman is going to end up not getting remarried because of the difficulty in finding two witnesses to verify the signatures. The Gemara asks, "Ha kulahu? Is this really to be described as a leniency? Chumrahu? This is actually a stringency. The matzuchis leitrei, if we would require two at the outset to verify the signatures, lo sibal ma'aru posule. The husband is not going to have any incentive to come and challenge the authenticity of the document. Chad, by allowing one, i.e. the agent, to serve as the basis of verification, the husband will have a type of incentive to come and try to challenge it. The Gemara answers, Kevon Yomar Mar, since it's taught, Bifnei Kama Noisno Lo, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chanino, Charomer Bifnei Shnayim, Charomer Bifnei Shlosho. In front of how many is the get to be given to the woman by this agent? One says in front of two, the other says in front of three. So the agent is delivering this get with his declaration in the presence of others. May Korah, may the Dayik, you can rest assured that this agent at the very outset checked out very carefully to make sure that these were authentic signatures. V'lo osi l'oroye nafshei, the husband is therefore not, the shaliach isn't going to want to make himself look bad by giving a document that in effect would have been forged, and therefore he, as we said, the shaliach agent checked things out very carefully at the outset, and therefore even if the Baal comes to challenge, we're going to believe this agent, because he certainly made sure at the outset that everything was done in a kosher way. As we mentioned earlier, this sukkah continues and continues, but in the context of our Daf Yomi Shurim, so we'll pause here. But before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.